You're listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. Or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
And good morning and welcome again to the International Mastermind Think and Grow Rich accountability call that we host every single Saturday as we walk through the book by Napoleon Hill. And today we are set for another awesome, awesome show. We have been walking through this book for months. And if you know the story that Andrew Carnegie asked Napoleon Hill if he would take 20 years of his life and study the philosophy and the individuals who had made a great financial success and those who did not, and create a science of the mind, if you will, a philosophy to live by, if you will, helping us to understand why is it that people can be born into riches and die poor. People can be born poor and die very rich. Well, I suggest on behalf of all of us that's hosting this awesome show today that the secret is found through the pages of this book. Napoleon Hill did that research, and he came up with 13 principles. One of those principles is called organized planning. And as a part of today's show, we are discussing the major causes of failure in leadership when your organized plans may not be as organized as you think. And so if you are interested and willing to follow along with us today, if you're interested in participating and asking a question, please just press 1 on your dial pad, which raises your hand, and we will recognize you and allow you to either give a comment or ask your question. I'm going to have our awesome, awesome hosts share with you a little about themselves, and then we will go right into the chapter entitled Organized Planning and give you the backstory. Then we're going to list the causes, and then we're going to have a conversation. So my name is Ann McNeil, and I am the Master Builder, helping to build stronger and better lives. And I am also the founder of the International Mastermind Association and the National Association of Black Women in Construction. But more importantly, I am the mother of Ionia Donnell, grandmother of Raja and Malachi, and married to my boyfriend, Daniel McNeil. But this book has literally changed my life, and we'll discuss that as we go through, continue to talk about this show. But I'd like to have my co-host, Thomasina Williams, share with you about who she is, but also what she's doing that may impact you and your life and family. Good morning, Thomasina.
Good morning, Anne, and good morning to our listening audience. It's great to be back on this Saturday morning. I've been on the road, so I've been traveling the last couple of Saturdays, and I'm happy to be with you this morning.
And if you can share a little about your business, please.
Sure. My work is with families. I am really focused on helping families to advance generational success. There's a lot of research that shows that oftentimes families can make a lot of money, do really well, The second generation enjoys the benefits of that, but by the end of the third generation, that money is often gone. It's called a shirt sleeves to shirt sleeves phenomena. And my own family has lived that story of the third generation. I am the third generation. And actually was gone before it got to my generation. So I am committed to helping families advance generational success. And the way that we do that is really helping them to be as intentional about how they develop the human capital, how they work on helping individuals to flourish as much as how they focus on growing the financial capital. My firm is called Sankofa Legacy Advisors.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. So we are walking through this book, Thinking for Rich. The chapter we're on again is organized planning. And I'd like to share, to give you a backstory, and then Thomasine is going to list the actual causes, and then we'll get into our discussion. And again, if you'd like to make a comment or participate in the show, please just press 1 on your dial pad. But Napoleon Hill shares with us, and I'll actually read what he said so we can be on point. He says that everything worthwhile that an individual creates or acquires begins in the form of desire. And that first step of desire's journey from the abstract to the concrete is in the workshop of the imagination, where plans or desires transition are created and organized. He suggests that you should ally yourself with a group of as many people as you may need to create and carry out your plans for the accumulation of money. This show is about money, everybody. And then he goes on to say, before forming your mastermind alliance, decide the advantages and benefits you may offer the individual members of your group in return for their cooperation. Then he goes on to say, you should arrange to meet with the members of your mastermind group at least twice a week and more often if possible, until you have jointly perfected the necessary plan or plans for the accumulation of money. And then finally, he says, maintain perfect harmony between yourself and every member of your mastermind group. If you fail to carry out the instructions to the letter, you may expect to meet with failure. Now, talking about meeting with failure, he goes on to share with us what some of causes of failure are. And at this point, Thomasine is going to read those, and then we're going to have a discussion about the causes of failure that resonate with us the most. Thomasine, thank you.
Thanks, Anne, for that introduction. As a little preface, I want to encourage people to think about what Napoleon Hill is doing here in a broader context. We oftentimes tend to want to focus only on the positive, but there's also a negative. And I think of this as really a teaching tool to help us understand that it's important to think systems. And by systems, I mean relationships, looking at the big picture. You might call it looking holistically. In my work with families, it's considered part of the wealth management field. My part is a relatively new field because when people think about wealth management, they tend to think about money, about hard assets, which is really focused on the quantitative side. My work is looking at the qualitative side, looking at the beneficiaries and the people who are going to be using the assets. And so, again, I think Napoleon Hill has an implicit lesson here that if we're looking at the positive, we also need to look at the negative. If we're going to look at up, we got to understand what is it that's happening down below. So the 13 principles are accompanied by 30 major reasons for failure based upon his research and analysis. Number one, unfavorable hereditary background. Essentially, that means, he says, a lack of the mental capacity. And the way to counter that, no surprise, is by the aid of the mastermind group. Number two, lack of a well-defined purpose in life. Three, lack of ambition to aim above mediocrity. Four, insufficient education. Five, lack of self-discipline. Six, ill health. Seven, unfavorable environmental influences during childhood. Number eight, which I can relate to, procrastination. Number nine, lack of persistence. 10, a negative personality. 11, lack of controlled sexual urge. 12, uncontrolled desire for something for nothing. 13, lack of a well-defined power of decision. 14, one or more of the six basic fears. And the six basic fears are fear of poverty, criticism, ill health, loss of a loved one or loss of love by someone, old age, and death. Failure number 15, wrong selection of a mate in marriage. 16, overcaution. 17, wrong selection of associates in business. 18, superstition and prejudice. 19, wrong selection of a vocation. 20, lack of concentration of effort. 21, the habit of indiscriminate spending. 22, lack of enthusiasm. 23, intolerance. 24, intemperance, overindulging in things. 25, the inability to cooperate with others. 26, possession of power that was not acquired through self-effort. This is one that I'll touch on as related to my work. 27, intentional dishonesty. 28, egotism and vanity. 29, guessing instead of thinking. I love that one. Guessing instead of thinking. 30, lack of capital. And he had this other sort of catch-all, 31, which is what particular cause hasn't been listed that might be one that you are particularly having a struggle with. So those are Napoleon Hill's 30 causes of failure based upon his extensive research and analysis.
All right. All right. And Thomasina, as we discussed earlier, even with 30 causes of failure, we oftentimes look outside of ourselves when we tend to discuss the problem or the challenges that are causing us to fail versus looking inside of ourselves at what it is that we really could be doing a little differently. Could you share what we were discussing this morning about Williamson, I'm sorry.
Yes. So what I was sharing is that this strategy that Napoleon Hill is encouraging us to adopt here really is a self-examination. We want to know what causes success, but it's also important to see what the roadblocks are, what are the hindrances, what are the failures as they relate to us personally. And I was sharing with Anne that a woman whose name is Marianne Williamson, if you want to look at her work, you can simply go to marianne.com. She talks about a spiritual principle which says that anything that is happening that is a challenge in any situation has to be something that I am not bringing to that situation. If I am in a dispute with someone, I need to look at my role in causing the dispute. What could I have done to have prevented the dispute, perhaps, rather than to focus on the other person? And I think in our society in general, we are always taught to look outside of ourselves. We need to look outside of ourselves for leaders, whereas the underlying spiritual principle is that we are all leaders. And that we are all leaders, certainly of ourselves. I may have some kind of disagreement with Anne, but there's nothing I can do to change Anne's behavior. The only thing I have control over is myself. If I am in business with my brother, I may be upset about something that happened in the business and want to blame my brother for it, but I need to step back and ask myself, how did I contribute to that situation? Did I not speak up much earlier when I should have spoken up? And therefore, perhaps my brother thought he had carte blanche to do what he wanted to do because I didn't say something earlier when I should have. So that the focus is always to work on ourselves. There's a proverb, a spiritual proverb also, that says that the most difficult knowledge to acquire is to know thyself. And so that's what I think Napoleon Hill is encouraging us to do here as we're looking at all of these outward ways of gaining success, looking at what other people have done, listening to and strategizing with our mastermind group. We also have to take time to reflect on ourselves, how we are showing up or not, what we can be doing to improve ourselves and to up our own game.
That says it all. And as we began to look at each of these, we can only take time for a couple. So one of the opportunities for growth in this is, and I'm going to share with all of our listeners, we have a lot of people who have chimed in today. And if you have a question or a comment, or if you'd like to participate, again, just press 1 on your dial, and then we'll entertain your question or comment. So, Thomasina, if you want to go ahead and choose one that resonates with you, and then I will share the one of many that relates to me.
Okay. You know, I in reading over the 30 again this morning, as you say, there are any number of places I could start. There are so many. And, you know, honestly, I have a lot of them that show up for me, but in different ways. So the one I think I would like to start with this morning is number 16. And the way that Napoleon Hill frames this as over-caution, he says that the person who takes no chances generally has to take whatever is left when others are through choosing. Over-caution is as bad as under-caution. Both are extremes to be guarded against. Life itself is filled with the element of chance. And when I read that, what I think about is risk. That's how I translate what he described as over-caution. And I was reading, unpacking some books the other day, and I came across a book that I bought, years ago. The name of the book is Work Less, Make More. And one of the things that the author says in that book is to risk is to be truly free. And that sentence just really resonated with me because I think oftentimes we get caught up in some particular aspect of our lives. You know, I have a good job. I've got great benefits. I've got a good thing going on here. You know, there's another saying, don't fix what's not broken. Well, something doesn't have to be broken in order for you to take a different route. And so for me, the element of risk is really important. It's not something I've had a challenge with from a negative standpoint, but it's something I think is important to focus on from the positive aspect of really going after our dreams and whatever it is that's calling us. Another one that resonated for me that I sort of associate with this is number 19, which speaks to wrong selection of a vocation. And Napoleon Hill says that no one can succeed in a line of endeavor which he or she does not like. And I think that is so true. Oftentimes we just get stuck in a rut and complain about what's happening, but don't take the initiative to do something different about it. The reason that I see these two as connected, I'm actually in my third career. I started out practicing law. I did that for 20 years. I then went to work in institutional philanthropy. I was in Miami, moved to New York, worked at the Ford Foundation for 6 years, and now I'm in this wealth management arena focusing on what's called legacy family planning. I've been doing that for the last 5 years. And for me, it's not just about the issue of making money. I had a very successful legal career in Miami, became a partner in a major law firm in 3 years. I made a bunch of money, decided to start my own firm, was successful doing that. As a matter of fact, 1 year I was voted one of the top 150 lawyers in South Florida, which was about the top 10% at the time. There's probably 10 times as many lawyers there now. But my point is, in saying that, is it's not that we are doing something where we're miserable necessary and we might be called to do something different. And that, to me, is the calculated risk. So a lot of people, including my family, thought I was crazy when I decided to leave Miami and the successful practice of law to move to New York to work in the nonprofit sector and take a huge pay cut to do that. For me, it was a calculated risk. It was a risk, yes, but it was a calculated risk because it was following my passion and something that I wanted to pursue. If I am not energized by something, as Napoleon Hill says in number 19, if I don't like what I'm doing and I can't be all in, I'm not giving my best to it. That's just how I show up. And I had gotten to a point after practicing law for 20 years, I just didn't want to do it anymore. Not that it wasn't financially lucrative, but for me, money isn't everything. So I decided to pursue the philanthropic work because I'd done a lot of pro bono legal services for people in Miami. I did a lot of pro bono, which means free, legal work around civil rights and voting rights. As a matter of fact, 1 year the Miami-Dade County Commission named a day in my honor to recognize the pro bono legal work I had done. Well, part of the pro bono legal work led me to finding out about an opportunity to go to New York to work in the philanthropic sector on voting rights, which was what I had done for free as a lawyer. And they always say that if you can find something that you enjoy doing for free and someone will pay you for it, go for it. And although they weren't paying me a lot to do it, it was something that was really important to me and something I was very passionate about. So I took a calculated risk and then went to the Ford Foundation for 6 years in New York. And at the end of my contract, my second contract, actually, I decided I wanted to do something different yet again. And didn't really know what that was. So I started researching specialized knowledge again, taking a look, a deep dive at a particular area. Specialized knowledge, you'll recall, is one of the earlier steps and the 13 steps to riches that we talked about. That led me to finding this field, which is a very small field, a relatively new field, also a financially lucrative field. So while some people would say, well, why are you trying to start another career in another arena? You should be thinking about retirement. Well, I have retired from two prior careers, and I'm just entering to a third one, but taking a calculated risk to start something new, to do something different, because in the course of studying this work, I developed this deep desire, this passion for understanding how we build wealth generation to generation. We are oftentimes focused on how do I make money today? How do I provide a good life for my family today? Which is obviously very important. What I have come to learn is that that's the foundation on which you need to then build over generations so that my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren are not starting over again. And the work that needs to be done to support these future generations needs to happen today in the work that I do in strengthening my family, as well as the work that I do in building my business and creating the financial success. So all of that is to say that's how I tie in number 16, which is what Napoleon Hill calls overcaution, and which I translate on the positive side and say taking a risk. If you're going to be a business person, an entrepreneur, you have by definition got to take a risk because there are no guarantees. And if you own the business, it's all on you. There is no guaranteed paycheck every 2 weeks or once a month. The challenge is to be very calculating, meaning being very strategic and very thoughtful in that risk that you take. And number 19, around our vocation, it needs to be something that you're passionate about, which is Napoleon Hill's number one step to riches, is to have a burning desire for something. If you have that burning desire, that is what propels you. That is what keeps you focused when times may be a little lean or things may be a little tough. That burning desire helps you to stay persistent and to keep going to the next level and the next level, again, based upon calculated risk.
Thomasina,
yes, ma'am.
We could end the show right now.
I have been talking a lot, so I do need to be quiet and allow our listeners to chime in.
No, ma'am. Absolutely not. No, ma'am. No. And this is why we do this, because every single Saturday we come on to share, because we care about serving. And one of the points you made about the fact that it is not about the money, and oftentimes we don't realize that in learning how to make the money, we then learn how to make the money, make money in the service of others.
Mm-hmm.
That is really the gist of the 13 principles. Because when Andrew Carnegie came to the realization that no matter how wealthy he was, it was not about him. And later in his life, as he began to realize, it is about the philosophy. And if people don't know, they can't change the way they think if they don't know how. And so you have shared an enormous amount of information. You've turned that negative into a positive. And I we talked earlier and I was on my way somewhere like to class. I have been standing in one place listening to every single word. Thank you so very much for sharing that, because it helps all of us to see the transition. And as we transition this call to the next person, all of our callers will see the exact same thing of what you shared, but in a different format. So with that, I'm going to introduce our next host of the show, not the guest, because we're all hosts and the callers are our guests. So Angelique Frost is on with us, and she's going to share a little bit about who she is, where she is, what she's doing. But before she does that, we're going to go to a commercial break, and the next voice you hear when we come back from that commercial, she's going to share her take on the particular area of organized planning.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com, or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again,
that Angelina
593-30-2002.
All right, well, Angelique will be back, and with that, we're going to go to Sharon Jackson. So, Sharon, if you can share a little about who you are, where you are, what you're doing, and the particular item inside of the organized planning area that relates with you the most. One or two.
Well, thank you. Thank you. In the last few years, my journey has transitioned. Most people know me as a planner, planning director, economic and community development director, and then I transitioned. I transitioned and I had my own company for a while. My substitute taught to make sure I had consistent income, and then in the meantime, I also ran my own consulting firm, which was interesting. And while I did that, I noticed several things about our youth. the lack of excellence, the lack of taking the easy way out. It's the microwave society. So in looking at in organized planning and the potentials of failure, one of the things that I started looking for is a couple of things that really hit me. And they were something that I had to ingrain in my own life and something I started dealing with when, as I interacted with teachers, as I interacted with students, as I interacted with clients, it was persistence. Not all of us jump out as stars. We develop those great talents because we do it in persistence. I was not in the beginning a good writer, but that was something that I wanted to become, a good report writer, and that's something that I became. I wasn't originally a great speaker, but over persistence, over time, and over listening to other people that were really good, it is how you end off. And one of the things that I remembered that really hit me very strongly is that as I'd be in the classroom, one of the classes that I would always take or teach was art. And the teacher would come up and say, I'm watching you, I'm listening to you, you obviously are an artist at heart. What happened here? And I said, well, I'd be working and I'd come to school and I'd see all these people and they would have done their crafts and their projects so quickly. And I decided, obviously, I'm not an artist. And they said, Sharon, we all have, but you acted on it. You got out of the field. And once I realized that, I doubled down. And I said, what do I become persistent and good at? And so I became persistent and good at speaking. I became persistent and good at reading, at preparing reports, at writing. So just because we start off, we don't jump out as high class and at the beginning, doesn't mean that we don't remain in persistence. The other thing is mediocrity. What number is that? But there's another one about staying in mediocrity. I have to find the number. Because most people deal with meeting a deadline. Most people want to be in the headlines and in the highlights, but they don't want to operate in excellence. Excellence is not on doing just a good job, but it's looking behind you to make sure that you identify the next person that you can assist and bring them to a higher heights. While I was in the classroom, I identified kids, and I would say, this is your talent, honey. This is what we're going to work on. Young lady, I don't stop. You're my go-to kid. Walk around with your arms squared. Doesn't matter if you're 5 inches taller than all the boys. You're good. You're great. You operate in excellence. So it's not just us, and I heard that from one of the previous speakers. It is not only us operating in persistently dealing and sharpening our own skills, but it's also breaking out of mediocrity and operating in excellence and being aware of who is around us to be able to draw them into their area of excellence. So that's what I define every day. I have been transitioning. I listened to Thomasina, and I am glad she is able to do that. I am still transitioning, and I am looking to plant my feet into the next area to operate in persistence and to operate in excellence. So those are my two that I continually pair because I know the causes of failure. It's because everyone wants to jump out there in the highlights so that they can be identified as the one. We are not always the one, but you have to deal with persistence to become the one. And then it's dealing with not being mediocre and bringing up the next person because they're the one also. So those are my comments. those rules too that I continually deal with. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon. And thank you also, Angelique is back. So we're going to, again, continue to remind everybody, if you do have a question or comment, just press 1 on your phone and we will entertain your question or comment. Good morning, Angelique. If you can share with everybody a little about who you are, where you are, and which one or two of these items inside of the organized planning chapter of the 30 causes of failure in leadership resonates with you the most.
Sure. Good morning. My name is Angelique Frost. I own Remarje, which is a luxury handmade bead line made out of specific exotic gems from all across the world. And as Thomasina was reading them, it's like a checklist that you have. It's like, oh, this one, oh, that one. I was listening to Thomasina speak when she was saying about 16 about overcaution. And I'm so sorry, Ms. Ann, but I have got to tell a little bit, like a little snippet of my story, because it seemed like within this year, so much has happened and transpired since I've gotten on the right track to actually center myself and read the book and kind of do a self-observation of myself. So when you say overly caution, as Thomasina was speaking, I was thinking to myself, like a lot of people think that success is money. And I just want to say for myself, I've never been in so much of a well-off position to have the money has arrived. And I must say, Ms. Ann, it is one of, and Thomasina, and for everyone that's listening, it is one of the most humblest alone times of my life. You sometimes when you're centering yourself and you do an evaluation and you're growing, what I've learned is that sometimes your environment is so vital to where you're going to. Sometimes you just have to either pull yourself out of it if you're not strong enough to build another environment that kind of is suitable to where you're headed, not where you currently are. Out of these, I think I'm going to choose 27, which is internal dishonest. And just as an example, here's why. Because sometimes with me, I'm a very sweet, genuine person, and sometimes I like to see the best in people. But as I've been growing and doing the business and doing other things and reading the book, as I also studying other philosophy, what I'm learning is that sometimes the truth is just the truth. There is no sugarcoating. There is, no matter how much you may qualify a person, no matter how much you may want to see a person do better, it's like sometimes something just hits you or something may happen to where, you know, I don't know, for everyone who's on the call, God or a higher power will allow this person to unveil themselves to you. And it's like kind of like a reminder of how centered you have to be and how honest you have to be with yourself in order for you to grow and in order for you to enhance your business. Because I, of course, have a huge family, and I thought, oh, my gosh, like I've got the advantage. I've got in a position where my credit is great. I've got a job promotion that pays me more. Okay, I got approved for my business loan. Okay, I want to share the success and let it spill over into their lives when it's like, sometimes God is just calling you, not for everyone to consider. And recently I have relocated to Georgia. For about the last 3 years, something had been telling me to come to Georgia. I met Miss Ann in February, and then I was so worried about the how. Okay, if I move, how I'm going to get a job? How I'm going to do this? Within like 3 months of me visiting Georgia, when I was here, a job opportunity became available only when I came here, guys. I think that that is so vital. And I don't want to take over the call, but sometimes this is what I think Thomasina was saying about the caution. I had looked to see if there was any job openings. It's only when I came to Georgia that the job opening became available. And I applied, and I'm like, I'll never get this job, already disqualifying myself. And then the next day I was out on vacation, they called me and told me I got the job here in Georgia. Within a month of that, I ended up relocating here in Atlanta, which is where my business is kind of, it's the greater opportunity. So as far as location goes, it's perfect. But I just said that to say that I know I'm kind of an over-critical person, so I always want to have everything in line. But I believe in my heart that had I not come here, that position probably would have never become available. You know, sometimes you just have to – sometimes the answer isn't there until you arrive, you know, and you can't send anybody for you. Sometimes it's you that have to go. And another one that I've seen on here that registered to me is intolerance.
Hold up, wait a minute. Angelique, excuse me one second. You have got to say that again. You have got to say that one again.
Okay. Sometimes when the opportunity comes, you have to go yourself.
Why are you laughing?
You can't send anybody else.
Laughing at me. Why are you laughing, Thomasina?
No,
we're live.
That laugh is, that's amen. I mean, she just gave a testimony that I know I can relate to, and I think a lot of other people out there can relate to. The universe wants to know how somebody
tweet that out. Somebody tweet that. Repeat it one more time, Angelique, please.
Sometimes you are the one that has to take on and arrive. You cannot send anyone else in order to take the place. Sometimes it's you that have to show up. Sometimes it's you. And I think sometimes when God places stuff on our heart, we disqualify, like, oh, we'll just send this and it'll be the same. No, if the blessing is for you, then if you send someone else, it, you know, there's very likely that it's going to fall on them, but the opportunity may be for you. You have to arrive in order to get it. And it,
sure.
Sometimes it doesn't unfold until you get there. That's what happened to me.
Thank
Ms. Ann, you've seen this. Ms. Ann is like a witness and a testament to this because I didn't believe it. I was like...
And Angelique, not to cut you, but this is powerful as we are living these principles. You see, it's one thing to read them, but it's something else to allow them to read you. And when we come on this radio every single Saturday, we are walking through our journey. We are living our story. And everybody who comes on and shares, even if they just listen in, they can see the transition. They can see the growth. And sometimes people have to see, you know, you have to be what they need to see in order for them to be what God has called them to be. So this is one of the reasons why we consistently and persistently continue to come on and to share. So I'll let you go ahead and wrap up, and then I'll go ahead and I'll share, and we'll wrap up the show. We do have a lot of callers now have asked questions and have their hands raised. But you can go ahead and continue, Angelique. Thank you.
Okay. And also what I wanted to share is that when I went through this transition, you know, I told Ms. Ann I was coming up here for a business venture, and then I didn't know I was moving. My lease just happened to be up. I didn't know I was going to get the job. Everything kind of just worked its way out. And I think that when you get on the track of your destiny, everything kind of just seems to align out of the most craziest, bizarre situation. And I remember when my family came up, because I went back and I told them I was moving. So I think this is so important, too. And then I'll move to my next one and I'll the ending. But it's like when I told them I was moving, everyone was in disarray. No one approved of it. Everybody was like, so you went for a weekend and now you're going to move? Are you kidding me? You're just going to pick up? And I'm like, yeah, this is what I'm doing. And when I got here, ladies, or for everyone that's listening, it just was like so beautiful, so green, so I'm so happy. I'm just walking around smiling. I want to get dressed every day. I want to go to entrepreneurship classes. And then when my sister came, she could not see anything that I could see. I'm like, you don't see how green it is? She's like, no, it looks just like Tampa. I'm like, well, you can't see that it's just a different ambiance. There's so much opportunity. The black youth here is just so much better. I felt like back in Tampa, it was poverty stricken. And she was like, you just haven't been to the bad areas. But that just goes to show that when I said, when God sends you, you have to come, because she has a completely different perception that I have, and we're in the same place. So I wanted to share that to say that sometimes when you arrive, you will get a completely different revelation than someone else. That's why you have to go. That's why God is calling you to go, not anyone else, not sending someone you. And my second one would have been intolerance. Okay, intolerance is something where I wish I never, pray I never reached this point where I've learned everything I wanted to learn. I want to consistently learn. But with me being young, because I just recently turned 31 this month, and I was surrounding myself with intolerant people, and I did not know it. And as I progressed and as I relocated, I found more of people like me, more of people that were encouraging and inspiring, especially through NADWIC, like just a completely a great sisterhood to join into, so uplifting, so supportive, and so resourceful. And the thing with intolerant people, they don't know that they are. You know, and what I've learned now is that I no longer get in an argument for the sake of being right. You know, if you think about it, it's like intolerant people have reached their level of learning. So technically they're basing their, you know, their opinion solely off facts. Even if I was to challenge them with a book or a dictionary, they would never pick it up. So it's kind of like it goes back to that environment thing, how I first had to change my own mind and qualify myself. And then I felt like at that time, ladies, that I was being called out. Because during this time, I lost so many friends or so many people that I thought were friends within this transitioning state. Because when I would go around them, I no longer wanted to gossip. I no longer wanted to do this. And then it's like we had nothing to talk about. We had nothing in common. So it opened my mind to it was groundbreaking for me that I was able to get so much knowledge and then test it. And the book teaches you that's when it's turned into wisdom. But I'm going to be closing this in, but intolerance is something that I felt like was another one for me because I could never explain the people that I was hanging around. But then as I read the book and it teaches you that intolerance, and then it also teaches you further in the book that sometimes you can't share your dreams with everybody because they also want to take recognition over it. And that has happened to me too as well. So I wanted to share that, and I hope that someone or I helped someone out along the way to, you know, maybe get on because the GPS doesn't start until you actually move. You have to take that step and move. And the worst thing that'll happen, I think, is that you'll just stay in the same situation. So thank you so much, Ms. Ann, and I hope I'll help.
No, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so very much for sharing. We do have a caller that has their hand raised. Your last four digits of your number is 1550. We're going to go ahead and open your line, and if you have a comment or a question, please share. Good morning. Good morning. Okay. Their hand is raised, and they don't realize that they're on the air. All right, no problem. All right, so we're going to go ahead and prepare to wrap up. I'll go last. I have one, really, that...
Excuse me, Ann.
Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but we do have another caller on the line who's been on for quite a while. It's a 904 area code, ends in 7528.
Yes. Okay, we can go ahead and open her line. I did not see that. I should put on my glasses. Yes, good morning. Your line's open, 7528. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Deborah Thompson out of Jacksonville, Florida. And I want to...
Morning, Deborah. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you. And you're so busy you couldn't call me back, but I'll get back with you on that. But I just wanted to say... yesterday when you asked everyone on the call to call in, I'm just so glad that I did. And I forgot the actual question because, it had to do with the first caller. I mean, the first host from Miami. What was her name again? She's an attorney.
Are you referring to me? This is Thomasina Williams.
Williams, yes, thank you so very much on the organized planning and specialized knowledge. Just my question is, how were you able to stay on task? And learned the difference between organized planning and strategic planning. How, because I get confused sometimes when I'm trying to put things together to stay on task. What would you suggest that I do and not get those two confused?
Thank you for your question. I think the first thing that I would say is I would not get so caught up in the terminology about whether it's organized or strategic. The important thing, I think, is to plan regardless of what you want to call it. The way that I personally distinguish them, I think of strategic planning is something that is a broader sort of big picture about how I'm going to do something, whereas I think of organized planning as more of the nuts and bolts, if you will. So if I'm talking about a business, I would think of organized planning as having my back office in place, making sure that my accounting systems are set up, making sure that I have, you know, all of my social media accounts lined up. Those kind of infrastructure type details is what I think of as organized planning, kind of the foundational work. And then the strategic planning is, now that I've got my infrastructure set up, how am I going to leverage and maximize the use of this infrastructure and the other resources that I have available to me? How am I going to, now that my business has been established, what am I going to do to take my business to the next level is what I think of as strategic planning. Strategic planning can oftentimes be thinking more long-term and, again, bigger picture, whereas the organized planning is what gives you the foundation to be able to do all of that. Is that
okay,
helpful?
So you said, yes, organized, you used another word besides detailed. You said it's organized planning is more, I know the back office kinds of things, but it's the day-to-day operations, you think, or the day-to-day kind of things that you use to get through to your strategic plan, I suppose.
Yes. I think
because you're
going to
need
organized
these resources and things in place to move forward. Okay.
Yes. Foundational is how I think of it. That you need to have certain things in place. If I'm going to open up a business, I got to have a telephone line. That's just reality. So I need to get those kinds of basic things in place. I need to make sure that my accounting systems are set up. If I need some kind of staff support, I need to figure out what that is. And once I have that foundation set, the minimum of what I need to operate, then I can think big picture, long term. Now, how are we going to make money and take this business to the next level?
Okay. Thank you so very much.
Thank you for your question. Thank you for listening this morning.
All right. And thank you, everybody, for your calling, all of the callers for your comments and your questions. And we're going to go ahead and wrap up, and I will go last. I'll just discuss one, my one for this week. And I did say this week because every time we read the book and the book reads us, it's another opportunity for growth. For me, question item number 20 says lack of concentration of effort. And it goes on to read as follows. It says the jack of all trades is seldom good at any. Concentrate all of your efforts on one definite chief aim. And I think that this resonates with me at this point, because I am involved, and Deborah just hit the nail on the head when she made the comment earlier, call me back, and so I've been involved just in the last 48 hours. I've participated in 3 annual events and on this show this morning. And so when I read this lack of concentration of effort, like Thomasina, I actually began to turn it around from a negative to a positive, because years ago, this was me more so than it is now. But what I found from reading this book, and I'll give an example, if I am focused on my definite chief aim,
then I must learn how to systematize my thinking, how to systematize my time, how to focus the energy all going to one place that then becomes exponential in its growth. One of my favorite speakers is Quvain. Nito Quvain is a member of the National Speakers Association Hall of Fame, president of the university. He sits on 5 or 7 different national corporate boards where they pay him. He's not only a six-figure speaker, he's a seven-figure speaker. He said something that helped me with this many years ago. I was all over the place. And even now, I keep it in mind and I'm honing my time and my talents. But what he said was this. He said he went to do a speech, and the meeting planner that invited him was very angry with him at the end of his speech, because during his speech, he talked about how every board he sat on, he mixed in how they all related. For example, he would say, well, you know, if you want to learn more about leadership, let's say, you can do X, Y, Z. For example, as the president of High Point University, we teach leadership to our students. As I sit on the board for BB&T Bank, we talk about leadership. And he actually, every time he made a point, every story he told related to something he was involved in, okay? Mm-hmm. And he calls that intentional congruence, intentional congruence. And intentional congruence is how you're able to leverage your time, your talents, and your treasure all in one definite chief purpose, all right? So he goes on to say that as his meeting planner is upset with him at the very end of his speech, and she says, you know, we didn't hire you to come and talk about everything that you're involved in. And then she ends it by saying, but the client wants you back. Client wants you back. I'm going to say that one more time. but the client wants you back. And as I began to study him and study his work, I then began, he even shared this with me personally at one of the National Speakers Association conference. I was sharing with him about how when I heard him say that the first time, how I began to really look at my own. And then he began to help me understand, okay, Ann, you're involved in this, you're involved in that, you're involved in that, you're involved in this, you're involved in that, you're involved in that. But everything that you're involved in, tie it to your definite chief purpose. And as I began to look at that, then I began to better understand how can I, as a contractor in construction over 40 years, black female, how can I tie that into serving other black women? That then turned into the formation of the National Association of Black Women in Construction, where I'm able to take my 40-plus years of experiences and my relationships, contracts, and share them systematically with black women all across the United States and helping them to shorten their learning curve based upon what I've experienced. How do I take that then and begin to build a speaking business, a consulting business, all focused on the same niche area, all focused in the same niche industry, intentional congruence. Now, taking this concentration of effort, this concentration of thought, and again now, because when I started, I had the lack of concentration, and even now, and I was sharing before we started this radio show this morning, that even now I am learning how to take my concentration of effort and continue to hone it into a more direct point. So from learning how to speak intentionally, so I started a speaking business called Constructive Speaking, all right? And so everything I do, even the places I go, and many people follow me on Facebook, like God told me last night, I was at the at Beatrice Lewis Saints event, the Florida Supplier Diversity Business Council gala, and a guy stopped me in the hallway and he said, you know, Ms. McNeil, I see you everywhere. You're everywhere. How do you do it? And this brought this to mind, lack of concentration of effort. He said, you know, I run here and I run there and do this and do that. But for me, I don't run. I am very intentional about everything I do. And my desire and goal, focusing on this lack of concentration, is now to begin to better learn how to focus my thoughts. So now when I attend events, I'm just sitting there like everybody else in the audience. So I said, you know what, why not pull out my phone, get permission from the organizer, make sure it's okay that I Facebook Live it, but how do I use intentional congruence to repurpose every single thing I do, turn lack of concentration into intentional congruence and into focus? And I have another book here that I'm rereading. It's called The Power of Focus, and it's by Jack Canfield, Mark Victor Hansen, and Les Hewitt. But again, for all of us, when we take these 30 major causes of failure, this was one of my biggest ones, and I'll wrap up with this. Even now, on a daily basis, when I journal in the morning, I am learning how to corral my stallion of horses that wake up with me every morning. They're called my thoughts, and they're just running all over the place. And I was sharing earlier, this is one of the reasons why I cannot answer the phone in the morning. I cannot go on social media. I cannot check an email because I have the lack of concentration of my thoughts and my effort, and I will be scattered all over the place. But if I'm able to continue to learn, I have not learned it yet. I am learning. When I begin to continue to learn how to use intentional congruence and find a way to mix everything that I do and focus it into my definite chief purpose, I will get a greater return on my time, my talents, my treasure, and my energy in the spirit of service. And so with that, if we have anybody else that has a question or comment, we're going to go ahead and go to a final commercial. And we want to thank everybody for joining in. And if you called in late and you are wondering what in the world are they discussing, we're discussing the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And we're on the chapter entitled Organized Planning, regardless of what version of the book you have. And the section that we're discussing is actually, in fact, entitled The 30 Major Causes of Failure, that how many of these are holding you back. And I'll wrap up by reading this. The author says that life's greatest tragedy consists of men and women who earnestly try and fail. The tragedy lies in the overwhelmingly large majority of people who fail as compared to the few who succeed. I have had the privilege of analyzing several thousand men and women, 90% of whom were classed as failures. There is something radically wrong with the civilization and a system of education, which permits 98% of the people to go through life as failures. But I did not write this book for the purpose of memorializing the rights and wrongs of the world. That would require another book. He shares that my research and analysis proved that there are 30 major reasons for failure and 13 principles through which people accumulate fortunes. And in this chapter, a description of these 30 major causes of failure has been given. And so we want to continue to encourage everybody to listen, share. I'm going to ask my co-hosts if they have any closing comments. Next week we will be discussing, as we wrap up this chapter, the 28 questions you should answer as a part of your personal self-inventory. And so we'll start with you, Thomasina, and then we're going to go to Sharon, and then we'll wrap up with Angelique if you have any closing remarks, and then we're going to finalize the show with the commercial. All right, Thomasina.
Thanks, Ann. My only closing comment is to thank our listeners this morning for joining in, listening in. I look forward to you all coming back next Saturday. I would just encourage you to think and grow rich.
All right. All right, Sharon.
Well, I guess it's the same thing. I think that every day that you come on, every Saturday you come on, you grow a little bit more. I've listened to Angelique, I've listened to Thomasina, and they exhibit all the principles of Thinking Grow Rich. And so do our listeners. So thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you for actually following the principles of Thinking Grow Rich. We'll see you next week.
Thank you. Angelique.
Hi. I also wanted to thank the co-host and also as well as the listeners as well. And I was going to end off Think and Grow Rich as well, Ms. Ann. Thank you, ladies.
All right. Sounds like we have a defining theme here as we close, and that is and grow rich, and we're going to go to a final commercial. See you next week. Ciao.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.